You're listening to the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Motor Mouths, what's up, boys?
Firstly, I want to express the great pleasure I take in knowing these two men.
Motor Mouth!
Yeah, Rob, you called an automotive talk show.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, you did.
You want to talk about car complaints.
Our trained staff of two will help.
And they know if you're doing a certain activity, whether it's motorcycling, you're under a car, you're humping.
What would a Thursday or a Sunday be without you guys?
Oh, there must be something wrong with my car.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
You know what scares me? Everybody that calls you know.
Are we on the air?
It's like, are these all cousins or something?
Okay, listen, don't you guys know I have the answers to everything?
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I just want to call and say, very good show, very cool, those guys on there.
Motor Mouth!
I was told the importance of my bolts and where do they go.
Somehow that sounds pornographic.
I think there's smoke coming out of my headphones.
I'm enjoying the conversation listening to you guys.
I drive junk now. It's much better.
Are you the young man that used to fix the cars in the driveway in Brooklyn?
Somebody will call about God knows what, and you see the wheels turning around, go, oh, yeah. You do this, you do that. You go down to the deli, you make a sandwich, you come back, it's fixed.
So you guys have a great team. I have heard you guys before. You have a lot of fun. You seem to enjoy what you're doing.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
Your radio is tuned to Motormouth Radio with your hosts Chris Switzer and Ray Guarino.
Alrighty, trying to go viral since 2007, this is Motormouth Radio, your one-hour automotive talk show right here on Long Island. I'm Chris Switzer, and of course, not saying it takes him a while to start a car project, but here's a man that turns down offers from cell phone companies to build a cell tower on his Nomad. He'll tell you all about it right from behind the shop bench. It's Ray Guarino. How are you, my brother?
Good. And that car would never withstand the weight of a cell tower. I'll tell you that right now. It does withstand the weight of a go-kart body and a few spare tires that are on it right now. That it will withstand.
So it's going to turn into an amusement park ride, probably.
No, it's called, who termed the phrase?
Called
it's
a who?
It's a four-wheel automotive shed right now because it's housing more parts than it has on it. But notwithstanding, speaking of viral, I think all we got since 2007, we got a few viruses.
Yeah.
That was the viral.
They call us every once in a while.
That was the viral infections that we got, yes.
Every once in a while, they pick up the phone. And you could be part of that. 516-572-7440. Wipe your nose on us. 516-572-7440.
Or someone else's nose.
How are you?
You're good.
I'm glad we're starting the show off with a thud already.
Well, you started it. It's like a dance. You started the lead. I'm just following. Depending where you lead, I may or may not follow.
Drag it right into the mud.
I use vast judicial, what's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, judicial something.
Reasoning of where I will follow. But you know what? I want to start off with a question today. You know, a little quiz again, one of those questions that
Yeah, why are we still here?
No, that I so often bring into the show. You know, we'd like the listeners to call and see if they can get in on it and whatever.
You can watch Ray ask his question on VaughnLive.tv/MotorMouthRadio. There's the question.
If you can read it, the answer is on the bottom.
Right.
Here it is. It's a quickie.
Yes.
This is to all the people who are driving right now, but if you're not driving, put yourself in the place of driving. Theater of the mind right now. You're in your car,
yes,
on your road of choice, maybe. Mm. Let's say you're on a highway, so there's more people around you than on that one-lane country road.
If it's me, I'm in a traffic jam.
Perfect. Look around.
I am.
Right now.
Yes.
20% of the drivers on the road right now are also doing this. Maybe with or without you. What is it?
What are they doing in a traffic jam right now?
Well, it's 20% of the drivers, so they don't have to. Okay, the question didn't say they were in a traffic jam.
Oh.
You said you were in a traffic jam.
Oh.
But on the road.
On the road.
Which we sometimes land in or out of traffic jams. 20% of the drivers are doing this while they're driving.
Are you doing this while they're while everyone else is driving as well?
You could be.
I could be.
And I have.
Ah.
I have done it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have or not. I haven't ever. I've never seen you do it.
Picking your nose.
No, but that did come up in one of the surveys that I saw at some point. It did. This not in this case. This wasn't it, but anyhow. Hey, there's
okay.
So that's the question.
And the answer will receive accolades from us.
Or something. If we find something to give you, we got to think of some old pizza boxes and sneakers we can give away.
There you go.
A frisbee.
I always said, we always talked about this. I always wanted to do something like that. Do a garbage giveaway.
That's what I didn't know. I didn't remember if it was garbage. It had another name. Yeah.
We used to do it in college. We used to give away all our junk and people used to take it. We used to call it a
That's sad.
Friday morning garbage giveaway. Yeah.
Well, most of the friends that we have, myself included, collect other people's junk.
You collect mine. So,
you know, well, yeah, but you know what? I got to tell you, some of the junk you give me, I spare your feelings. It does go right into the garbage.
Good. It's good.
So I become the person that has to keep the big truck with the mouth fed. But that's notwithstanding. You know, we all make our decisions.
Heck, I'm going to bring my garbage men are prima donnas.
Ah.
They look at stuff. They go, hey, I ain't taking that. You taking this? I ain't taking this. Look what he's throwing out. We're going to leave this here. That's what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
You say that your garbage men take everything.
They're good. They are very
good. They take everything. So I'm bringing my crap to your house and just leaving it in front of your house. I'm not even going to bother you with the thought of giving it to you.
I've had friends take stuff that I was throwing out off the curb before they left my house. True enough. I've had that happen, but whatever.
Good. I'm glad that you're using it or not using it.
What are you going to do?
As you see fit. That's fine.
Hey, something happened in the world. Of course, you know, Rob, if anybody listened to Rob's show before hours, some people do.
Mm,
they do listen.
I heard.
He did mention the passing of George Barris. Of course, that happened Thursday. We couldn't report on it because it hadn't happened. We didn't know about it at the time.
Yeah, it was Thursday morning.
Yeah, 2:45 a.m. Mm-hmm. And, of course, George had been on the show four times. I think we're the only station in New York that had George in studio. Especially in recent times.
Hybrid.
And that goes for the big shot guys, the city guys, the stations with the names and the budgets,
mm-hmm.
and the program directors who couldn't land that one.
And we got it.
We got him four times.
Yes.
Only because he's on the West Coast. It was only when he came out here. If he was here, we would have had him more.
Right. And he used to call, he used to forget our names, to call you Nick and me Artie. I never understood that.
He did a few things like that. Yeah. Well, you know, George was 89 years old. We cut him slack.
But he was always dynamic. He was always a great interview. He mm-hmm. always made our jobs very easy, and will be missed. That's for
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So rest in peace, George, and his family. Our condolences go out to all of them, of course, because now that's a piece of our show that's gone.
Yeah, no, very much so, and it really is. It's a hole, an empty hole.
But there is something on the website, correct?
Yes.
Our website?
I put something on the site. I took one of the videos, one of my personal favorites. The first time he was on this program was back in 2008.
That was the biggie when people were contacting us to ask, can I come in just to see?
Right.
I was like, yeah, sure, come on. Well, we got 30 people. What's 40? And this place did have about 40 people in it.
It did. And it was the first time I think he had made it to the East Coast in over 15 years. And when he did, they gave him such, over at the Cradle of Aviation, they gave him such a warm welcome. There were about 15,000 people, I heard, or 17,000 people that came to see him. And he was just dynamic. He was signing autographs and shaking hands and kissing babies and all kinds of good stuff. But he was truly a pinnacle. And I think that was him at his best. When he came to see us that day back in 2008 was great. So you'll see the part one of six is up on the site, and you can see the rest of them on YouTube. They're there too.
And where would people go to find that? Part one.
Oh, you can go to motormouthradio.com. Go right to the index page. Yeah, it's
very
right
good.
There.
Yeah, very good.
Beaming in front of you.
Yeah. And of course, you know, with this is about George, but we still have to mention, of course, our good friends Mike Manning and Andy Perillo from the Autoseum.
They're the ones that made it happen.
And Celebrity Chase Collision. Yes, without them, we wouldn't have had our introduction to George. So mm-hmm. we thank them for the opportunity.
Very much so.
So on to business news.
Yes.
There was a big acquisition in the automotive world. I guess it was probably now last week. Yeah, it was the end of October, actually. Bridgestone is acquiring Pep Boys. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, I haven't.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
Tell me more.
It's the new company, Pep Boys, which is, of course, Manny Moe and Jack.
Right.
Remember that? Well, now there's going to be a new company. It's called Pep Boys and Bridgestone Retail Operations LLC, which will be known as BSRO.
Okay.
Okay. They're going to acquire Pep Boys in an all-cash transaction for $15 a share on the stock market-wise.
Does it give you a total of how much that equates to?
Yes, it does.
Ooh.
You want to take a guess?
We'll
quiz the swizz a little. $15 a share of Pep Boys equals X amount of dollars.
I would say...
Now, it's in aggregate equity value, which that's some kind of a monetary real estate banker term. I don't know what that means, aggregate equity value, but I guess it's what they agreed on.
Yeah, I would say something along the lines of $6 billion.
Okay, no, it's less than that.
Okay.
Pep Boys, I guess, wasn't doing so good with the crappy with the crappy mini bike. So $835 million.
Oh, okay.
Which is nothing to sneeze at.
No, it isn't.
Pep Boys, which was headquartered in Philadelphia, has been one of the nation's leading automotive aftermarket chains since the year
1936.
No, earlier.
1924.
Oh, so close.
Really? 23?
And it's an odd number, and you're very close.
Well, I'm going to go to 25.
21.
21.
1921. That's a long time.
That is.
You know, that's a long time. And they've had more than...
Older than my house.
Yeah, just by what, 6 months?
About 4 years.
Yeah. They've had more than 7,500 service bays in more than 800 locations.
Wow.
In 35 states and Puerto Rico, which is pretty good.
Mm.
You know, of course, they were known for offering tires, maintenance and repair, parts and accessories.
So I guess now Pep Boys is going to exclusively carry Bridgestone brand tires.
Well, I guess. Let's see what it says here, because I did this a couple of weeks ago. The acquisition accelerates the global growth strategy of Bridgestone Corporation, of course. Mm.
Of course.
Pep Boys will add approximately 800 locations to BSRO's nationwide network of 2,200 tire and automotive service centers,
okay,
which operate under the Firestone Complete Auto Care.
Firestone?
They operate under the Firestone Complete Auto Care, Tires Plus, Hibdron Tires Plus, and Wheelworks brand banners, so I guess they've already diversified. I guess Bridgestone's already diversified.
Okay.
And this transaction is expected to close in the beginning of 2016.
Very nice.
So there you go.
They didn't say
anything about facelift stores, branding. You know, I guess that'll come later. They'll decide if it pays to keep the original branding on Pep Boys. Like we talked about Thursday, we talked about changing their logo or their look. We'll see now if they'll do that or if Bridgestone thinks that it's beneficial to keep, you know, the old Manny Moe and Jack.
You know what? I don't see any reason why you would want to diversify from Manny Moe and Jack. I thought it was something. I mean, I think to myself, companies spend millions of dollars kind of branding their logos and their catchphrases into our minds.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot of money to do that. And I always felt, why would you want to completely revamp that and change it?
You're giving me a bad flashback.
Why?
That's the argument I had with you.
Do.
That's the argument I had with you on Thursday with paint wrapping buses with logos, and where I said, but the logo would stay, and you said, well, no, people change the logos.
But I'm talking
you're
about.
You're killing me here.
No, I'm talking about.
Go on.
They're changing the material that the logo is on.
See,
the material, I don't think that the wrap is going to withstand a bus or the elements that a bus endures for a certain amount of time, longer than maybe a year or so. So they're going to rewrap it. And if they're going to rewrap it, you change the environment of the logo, but not the logo itself. See, we always talk about this. You change something, but you keep most of it the same. It's the same but different. That's advertising. It's the same but different. You take the same logo, but you put it in a different environment. You freshen it up.
And if my wife is watching, this will hark back to this morning's conversation that we had about this subject. But anyway.
Is she going to start screaming at the radio now?
She almost texted me, but she pulled back. So anyway, I digress. I think the issue more is, and I know that in corporate takeovers and buyouts, this is an issue. Did Pep Boys sell the rights to their logo and to Manny Moe and Jack? Because sometimes they'll keep that or sell it separate. And sometimes the company, the new company says that it's we must have that. That's a no. You know, so we don't. I don't know. It didn't say if they negotiated that or not.
Right.
But we'll find out.
That's the aggregate worth. I guess that's what
lumps
into that.
Yeah, it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't know if. It took all about shares and equity. So, yeah, I don't know.
516-572-7440. Drop your 2 cents in on this. Like to hear it.
And while you're doing that, look around and see if 20% of the other drivers on the road are doing this while they drive.
Mm-hmm. 20%.
And tell us what this is.
Well, I can tell you one thing, what they're not doing. They're not shifting their cars manually, that's for sure.
I would agree with that.
They're not doing that.
I would agree with that.
You know, I went...
Although I did today.
I went and looked... like
you didn't.
No, I didn't.
No.
I didn't shift manual today. But I went to go look for a manual shift truck. You got me on this kick now about manual shifting trucks.
Who, me?
Yeah.
No, you've always had the...
You got me going again.
Yeah.
I'm looking for another one.
Okay.
I'd like to see what I can find.
Oh, because I told
there.
You should get rid of the rusted piece of crap in the parking lot. That's what... No, you always had it in your head that you wanted a manual shift truck.
Yeah,
which is,
always.
Yeah, that's how you got the one you have.
But now I'm back on that stick
again.
It's
hard.
It is, because those trucks are getting older. Those SUVs are getting older. And we'll talk more about that But first, we're going to go to the phones and go to the fun. Say hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, it's Kevin Massapequa.
What's up, Kev? Brother? How are you?
A couple of things. All right. Two things. You guys are arguing about the same point, but just like apples and oranges. Like
that's usually how it goes, Kev.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay. Like with buying Manny Mullen, Graham.
Graham.
If I remember from one of your old shows.
Graham.
It was Manny Mullen, Graham, but they've made it Manny Mullen, Jack.
That must have been one of Chris's facts because I wouldn't have had that one. Yeah.
I'm thinking of the Graham brothers.
They were Graham crackers.
They were Graham brothers that built the Graham car, but.
That I could.
Okay.
Well, whatever.
Whatever. Let's move along.
Okay. I mean, if they're going to buy something, you got to hope that they're hoping that logo has some traction in that area. It's like when someone buys a restaurant that says it's Tony's restaurant. Is it better that people know the Tony's so that it'll fit in seamlessly rather than changing the name to Lloyd's? Mm-hmm. And now people, I don't want to go there because it's under, you try to keep continuity as opposed to, like Chris is saying, I'll change it every 6 months because the bus is going to beat it up on the bus. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends if the new or the old name has more weight. If the new company has more weight than they may, and the old one was doing bad, that may be the determinant.
Agreed.
But
yeah, sales would dictate when to change the logo.
Right.
Right. Oh, I guess it's a lot like when Mavis buying STS.
Okay.
Mavis is just tires. STS is under the hood. Mm-hmm. And if they're looking to, rather than have it set up new stores to try to gain ground, buy the competition and just either keep the name or absorb it and put your name on the building.
Which sounds like what Bridgestone has done with the Pep Boys brand. Yes.
Yeah.
They're putting their product in already existing stores.
And if you look at the other ones that were named, like Firestone and those other ones that aren't local to us, they've let them keep that name. Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't say what degree Bridgestone has, if they fully own them outright or if they're just a partner. So I don't know. Yeah, but that's right. It's all business strategy, Kev.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and a follow-up to the booting of the tire. From the other day.
Like we discussed back on Thursday.
Right.
Yeah. The girl asked me if I could take the thing back it was an auto body shop that was taking the boot. And I said, how do they track her down? Lives in Suffolk, works in that. So then the woman goes, oh, it's from the traffic cameras. I said, you're going to tell me they can identify license plates. You're going to tell me they're going to look at every license plate that stops by looking for, someone not paying a ticket.
What led her to say that, Kev?
Because I asked her. I guess I asked her how do they track you down? Is it from the Easy Pass? Oh no, it's traffic cameras.
Well, that's what I'm saying. How did she know that was like? What was her factual data behind that?
Right.
She didn't have it. She got sold. She talked. That might be the company line.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what she asked them how they found her, and that's what they told her.
Because she had the girl that got the ticket asked me to take the boot back because I was going that way. All right, and I asked them how did they track it down. He says, it's from the traffic camera.
Oh, wait, you asked the body shop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So
I was confused who asked who. I thought the girl.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. She asked me to drop it off.
Oh yeah.
Right. So and the body shop told you it's the traffic cameras, which we can agree. I think we can all agree that's probably the company.
So the guy that's been inhaling lack of thinners has the right answer. Has the right answer, right?
Who can cough up?
Whoa,
Mondo.
Man! It was that big thing in the sky. I saw it hovering over traffic, and I saw it took a flash, man. That's what it was. They're all coming after us.
And every picture that it takes. Oh yeah, we're looking for that car. Because I said it was funny. I said there were two cars in the parking lot that got booted. You're going to tell me they got both of them from a traffic camera.
Mm-hmm. No, I think the license plate reader is the right answer.
Well, did you heard the rest of the show on Thursday. We talked about we got a call from Bill, and Bill had a very good perspective on it as well. So, and that's why we love you guys, because you guys come up with it. You come up with the great answers, too, and we love it. We love it for that purpose.
I like the UFO in the sky myself.
You would.
It's a spaceman.
Oh, that's right. You had enough lacquer thinner in your life, too.
I have, yes. I have in other chemicals. Yeah, there's all sorts of carburetor cleaner is a good one.
There's stuff that you've ingested I think hasn't hit you yet.
Probably, yeah.
Like the mimeograph back in the old days from elementary school. You snip when you get the test.
Dude, you're showing your age.
Oh, the purple lettering. Yeah,
you're showing our age.
That was exemplified probably in other movies, but in
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Fast Times. Yes, Fast Times. When they hand out the test, everybody picks them
up. Everybody picked up the test.
Right. And everyone under the age of 40 is going, what are they doing?
I still do that with the right type of book. If I get a book that's on like a glossy paper, like a lot of these automotive books are glossy paper with nice color printing, that has a certain smell to it that's just kind of nice. I just kind of like it, you know?
Yeah.
Kev, thank you so much for chiming in on this.
You got it, guys. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Kev.
You too. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Always good to hear from Kevin from Massapequa. 516-572-7440 is the phone number. Ray Guarino behind the shop bench. I'm Chris Switzer, and of course, the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Drivers that have encountered an open manhole on the road.
Was that 20% of drivers?
I was going to say, is that part of the 20%?
No,
I didn't think so. Who takes these things?
I don't know.
Well, if you're part of seeing that actually transpire, when you pass an open manhole, you're part of the Motormouth Radio on the Group of the Hour. Keep where you got a lot more of this mess and the answer to Ray's question coming back at you.
The Motormouths will be right back with your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
You have a short in your horn.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
You got the touch.
Tune in every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and hear a program unlike any other. Join me, host Justin Greenberg, as I play music that I promise you're not going to hear anywhere else, and some hits that you'll be singing along to with as well. It's Saturday Rock, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on 90.3 FM, WHPC, the radio voice of Nassau Community College in Garden City, New York.
Ooh, yeah!
Have a question about your car or someone else's car? Then give the Motormouths a call, 516-572-7440.
That's the phone number to get you right in touch, 516-572-7440. You lucky dogs. This is Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino and behind the shop bench. I'm Chris Switzer. And when we last left Ray, what was he doing? He was taking little pieces of paper and moving them all over the place in front of him.
You know, I'm out one day, and I amassed this cadre of papers of notes and things I want to talk about in the show. And last Sunday, I was out traveling about.
Yes.
And I noticed something. Actually, a listener had got back to me on this. You and Joe were talking about. Joe D., of course, who sat in for me.
Yes.
At some point, I think you were talking about the movie, the Franny Lou movie that Joe's involved with shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And, and cruising came up, the term cruising.
Right.
And it was, Joe talked about. You both talked about cruising, and the listener wanted a clarification on your cruising in particular. He understood what Joe's cruising was, but said, what kind of cruising did Chris do? And I said, I don't know, but I will ask.
Did he say it again?
It was like, what kind of cruising did Chris do? What the hell was that? So, because you mentioned 86th Avenue, right?
86th Street.
Street.
Come on.
I don't live there.
Come on, get it right.
Sorry.
Please.
Sorry.
I got to jump all over you now whenever you throw a factoid.
Fair game. I'm sorry. I don't live there. It's hard. And you know what? And that's the problem I've always had with Queens and the boroughs in general, because every number has streets, avenues, roads, boulevards, divisions, parkways.
Yeah.
Unless you live there, you can't keep it straight.
41st Avenue, 41st Place, 41st Street, 41st Terrace, 41st...
Terrace, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's almost impossible without a scorecard.
No, I agree with you.
I'm sorry.
Brooklyn is just as bad. Don't get me wrong.
Well, no, that's what I was talking about.
Well, you were talking about Queens.
Well, the boroughs, all of them, in Brooklyn, yeah.
Brooklyn is just as bad as I think Queens is worse, but I'm biased.
Okay.
Cruising 86th Street was a kind of an interesting thing. It was a planet all to itself, and here's what
a microcosm.
Yes, here's what you did.
Well, how long was the...
It's not long.
The cruise. Okay.
It's not
long. I want to nail this down for people now, because now they won't have any more questions.
It's the section of 86th Street that is under the elevated subway line, right? We all have seen it. We've seen it.
Yes.
In the chase scene in the French Connection.
Okay.
It's that exact same spot.
So between where and where?
It's between Stillwell Avenue and New Utrecht Avenue.
Okay.
Okay?
And that's what's that in miles? Is it a mile?
It's about a mile and a quarter.
Perfect. That's a perfect strip.
Now, this is what's unique about it. At the time, at the time,
what
going
time?
Back between, let's say, the early 70s to around 1988, 89,
that's a good
I would
run.
Say. I would say that was probably about the span. And I'm probably
it's
embellishing.
Like 30 years.
I'm probably embellishing.
Oh, 20 years, I'm sorry.
20 years. 25. But anyway, what I remember of 86th Street was it was during the summer, everybody would hang out on the sidewalk.
Right.
You always had people out on the sidewalk. You always had cars parked and double parked.
Of course.
Usually,
it was Brooklyn.
Usually they were on the
sidewalk.
Curbside of the stanchions that held the subway.
Oh, yeah. Those things drive
me nuts.
They
were on the curbside. So that left two lanes
right.
to go back and forth, to go west and east.
Okay.
And in those two lanes, you literally creeped. Because everybody motored along at a steady half a mile an hour.
So let me ask you this. Is that how you got your love of traffic jams? Or is it because? Because that to me would be drive me out of my freaking mind.
Okay.
My car would load up and stall.
I can take this and run with
okay.
it. Hold on. Here's what we used to do. If you were going west, let's say, mm-hmm. one way down the street, you got
towards
a car in front
Stillwell.
Of you, right, and you got a car behind you, and you're heading that way, there were usually a car or two coming back. I mean, there was a line of cars coming at you, but one in particular, mm-hmm. you would see there would be maybe a bunch of women in it.
Right.
So you
well,
had a
girls.
Certain amount of girls.
Yeah.
You had a certain amount of time
yeah.
to creep past them. I'm doing a visual.
Wait. Creep being the operative word here, I think. I think that's where this is going to take us, folks.
So if I'm creeping towards westbound at half a mile an hour, they're creeping eastbound at a half mile an hour, we're going to have a certain amount of time where you're going to be able to converse with them.
You'll be next to each other, right?
Right. Right.
Okay.
So you're going to be door to door, and you can have a chance to chat.
Belly to belly?
Belly to belly.
Oh, okay.
Back to back, belly to belly.
All right.
Right? So if you were able to kind of win them over,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you can get a second lap.
Okay, gotcha.
So you motored all the way down to the ends, and everybody turned around and got back in line again.
How long would it take past. To make that next
it
pass?
It would take an hour to make the complete loop.
For a mile and
if
a quarter.
If it was a half an hour from one end to the other, and then turn around and a half an hour back.
And you like doing this.
Well, here's the thing. There was always music playing. And it
right.
was always the same station.
Okay.
Whatever it was always a dance music
what,
station.
What was your tenure on the on 86th Street? What was your
years.
Tenure? Well, what years? Well, you know, typically. Because that's going to nail down our music answer.
I think the high point was anywhere from, I guess, 1981 to maybe 1983.
Okay.
I came in a little later.
So the end of the disco era.
Yeah, I came in through it was like
okay.
the peak and the downfall.
Gotcha.
That's when I jumped
in. Okay.
I think 79
well,
was probably
you know,
peak.
For people who are new to the show and have or maybe heard something before and mm-hmm. didn't understand, that explains that quantifies the low and slow mantra.
Now, that is true.
Right.
Because I did this mostly in a 64 Caddy Coupe de Ville.
Okay.
So it was really.
And that's when a convertible would be, you know, the car to have.
You really didn't want a convertible in this.
Why?
Because
the people dive in.
Well, that's one thing. Well, there was a diving. I told you my diving story.
Yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. I know.
There are people that kind of shied away from convertibles because of the trains overhead.
Mm-hmm.
The trains would every once in a while drop a ember or a spark or something
would
fall down. You really didn't want your upholstery to endure that. But
what about the Corinthian vinyl top?
Hey, you know, that was a different story. You had armor. Yeah. You had like 8,000 layers of armor.
Oh, that wouldn't self-ignite.
But here's where I could take it a step further that you brought up about my love of traffic jams.
Mm-hmm.
There's one spot on the Bell Parkway that completely stops dead, and it's usually right by the Van Wyck area,
mm-hmm.
the Kennedy Airport area. In the morning, it
right.
stops dead right there, right? I actually will sit in the third lane. There's about...
And make believe you're on 86.
No, there's about 7 or 8 different people that I actually stop and see.
Oh, you see the same people?
Because they're the same knuckleheads that are right. heading the other way, stop dead.
Gotcha.
So I'm always like, hi, how are you? Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And there's a couple
you're
of
still
nice,
doing
couple
it.
Couple of nice little women. Hi, how are you?
You're still doing it.
We're looking over the Jersey Divider at each other. We're both in the third lane, right? We're both in the monster lane. We have a Jersey Divider. One's going one way. One's going the other way. And we both look at each other. Hi, how are you? How are you
right,
doing?
Right.
Hey, you know, you washed it. Very good. That's good.
Hey, how's the kids.
How's it going?
Hey, look, here's your Girl Scout cookies.
It's still happening.
Wow, that's bizarre.
It's still happening.
Well, I did listen to that.
I'm glad you asked.
No, I am, because I heard Joe's, his point. And my cruising experience was just like his, where we cruised not one particular strip. We had many different strips. And the thing he said that really caught me was how the music changed.
Oh.
And it did. Like, you'd go from, you'd be hearing the Grateful Dead at one spot, and you'd cruise another spot, and then it was Zeppelin. Another spot, you'd be hearing Sabbath, and then you'd hear, like, some... Yeah, it always changed. And I think that goes with the groups of people who were doing the cruising.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a social little norm here.
Social moray.
It is, but it's a car guy thing.
Here's a story that I don't know if I've shared before, but I do remember I was in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, and I was heading to B91 WKRB. I was doing the 9 to midnight shift over there. It used to be the Friday night, all-night party raid we used to do there.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, it was always a lot of fun. And I was taking over from a guy. His name was, I'm not making this
Lightning
up.
Lightning Lou?
No, oh. Not Lightning Lou, but I knew him. I was taking over from a guy named Matt Binky.
Jesus. Matt Binky,
exactly. I'm on.
Did he carry a pacifier in his pocket? Is that why you got that?
That was his nunny. Anyway, I'm on Emmons Avenue.
Okay.
I'm on Emmons Avenue.
Yeah.
Cruising around Emmons Avenue. I had my convertible. Okay. Who's better than me? Nobody at that point.
No.
But I'm going over to take over from Matt at 9 o'clock. It's about 8:30. I'm bopping along a nice summer night. Got the top down on the Electra.
Yeah, nice.
And what am I listening to? Everybody had B91 on their radio.
American Graffiti.
It was exactly it. It was American Graffiti all over again. And it scared the bejesus out of me because I'm thinking, they're all going to be listening to me.
Right.
I'm going in to relieve the guy that's on the air now.
Now, you see, I don't know what would have made me feel better. You know, cruising in the summer, I wouldn't want to go to work, or knowing that I was going to actually go to work at a radio station and be the guy. I think I'd want to stay in my car and cruise around. I don't like going to work. I want to go cruise, man.
But you were thinking, you were the one that's going to be spinning the music
cool.
To create the mood.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so that's where it got to be.
That's excellent, yeah.
That's Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. This is Motor Mouth Radio. I'm going to go put on some polyester pants.
I'm going to tell you something. Probably only like a tenth of a percent of the population can claim to have that kind of experience.
That's true.
I never have.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wanted to listen to me.
they listen to him now.
Yeah, I'm getting back at them. Every last one of them. And I'm still cruising.
That's Ray Guarino. Still cruising. Right here. Every Thursday and Sunday, noon to one, you can catch him cruising behind the shop bench. I'm Chris Switzer, of course. You can check out this program on Performance Motorsports Network. You can also hear it on iHeartRadio. We're very proud. They don't know we're there. We know we're there. They go, whatever. Got a lot more coming your way right here on Motor Mouth Radio. Keep it where you got it.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said the Motor Mouth thing.
Whether your car is fast or slow, we're your number one radio show. Motor Mouth Radio, baby. Ow.
Bill Horan presents Secrets of Success, the show designed to help listeners uncover their hidden talents to maximize success. Listen to Secrets of Success Wednesdays at 4 p.m. and Sundays at 7:30 a.m. on 90.3 FM WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College. Streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Got a car question? Give the Motor Mouths a call at 516-572-7440.
That phone line's open, 516-572-7440. I'm going to get on my platform socks, I'm going to get on my orthopedic shoes, and I'm going to head out and dance the night away.
Yeah.
With Ray Ray watching me and going, hey, look at him, he can't dance.
Right. He'll be changing jets in the corner.
Ray was one of those guys who probably hung around on the side of the bar. He had his hands in his pockets. He's like, hey, look at all those knuckleheads over there. They can't dance.
Yeah, I was with those. Yeah, that was my crowd.
I was out there doing a lot of this.
Well, I told you, I've said this on the show many times, when the disco craze was hot in the 70s and it hit hard, a lot of my friends bought suits and shirts, and they went out. We all went to the Hot Rods. We went out to the discos, and me and a couple of guys like Jeff, we always stood outside with the cars, with our beers and our stuff, because we were going to watch the cars, because we weren't going in there. We hung out outside.
A bunch of antisocial.
And we were, like, tripping the guys with the head. And I wore platform shoes, but we still tripped the guys with the platform. Get out of here, you knucklehead. Yeah. Listen to Black Sabbath.
Let's go to the phones. Go to fun. Hi, you're on with the Motor Mouth.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Who's this?
It's Rob.
Oh, it's Rob. Holy smokes. How are you, brother?
I'm doing fine, thanks. You know, I never cruised 86 in the L, but I've certainly done my time on the Belt Parkway.
Oh.
It's like cruising 86, you know?
So
you move that slow.
So you basically looked over the Jersey divider just like we did and
yeah, sure. You see the same people every day going the other way. They got the same frown on their face.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's for sure. Oh, you're absolutely right. They all have that same sullen look on their puss.
Exactly. Like, you know, it's like, all right, I'll just set it in, you know, autopilot and just, you know, take a nap for a while, let it do itself, you know.
Mm-hmm. Rob, you know what I used to do? I drove around with a harmonica. And I swear to you, I'd be in the car.
It's better than a sousaphone.
Summer morning, I'd be in the car, and I'd be like, I'm so blue, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm in the middle of traffic, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's amazing. Everybody would be like, look at the idiot.
You know what I found amazing, though? Aside from the fact that you see the same people every day, let's say going in the same direction as you, you see the same people every morning, because you're going about the same time, you know?
Right.
But... Yeah. There are two things. First, they do the same stupid thing every morning. And you think to yourself, when are they going to learn, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is you see these people, you know, they're traveling to work every day. And they've got the GPS up on the dashboard. You see them looking at the GPS. I'm thinking to myself, haven't you figured it out by now, guys?
Right.
I mean,
meanwhile, hey, they're saying the same thing about you.
Right. Well, I keep my GPS down low. That's what I mean.
Oh.
But you know, I mean, like, especially people who are pulling off the same exit as me, you know?
Yeah.
And I see them driving down the same road every day, and they got their GPS, and it's like, why? Why?
Mm-hmm. No, you know what? There's that off chance that maybe the GPS may see some traffic further down.
I was going to say, you could have a traffic link on the GPS that would predict traffic patterns.
Yeah, so I...
You know, that's true, okay? But, you know the area down there. I mean, let's say, you know, if you're coming from, you know, this area, and you're heading down to Brooklyn... You know, especially if you're going to go around maybe Canarsie or further, you know.
You're screwed.
Coney Island.
Yeah.
How many choices do you really have?
No.
Boat. It's true. I'll tell you the truth.
Not many.
Rob, it's funny because just to get with a little bit of detail here, a lot of times the GPS, because I do it too, the GPS will get me off the belt and run me along 150th Street along the conduit. And then it says make a left at Brookville Boulevard. Have you ever made a left on Brookville Boulevard and survived it?
No.
There's 8 billion cars all making this left all at once into one lane.
Mm.
Because they all have the same GPS.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If I make a left here, I'll still be making a left. I won't show up for the show. Mm. So what I did was I tell the GPS, go to hell, and I keep going. And then it goes, make a left at Hook Creek Boulevard. And I'm like, no, because that's even worse. So I'm not going to make a left. So now what I say is, you know what? I'm going to try and figure out how to get through Nassau County to get back to the southern state. And I have learned more new routes avoiding those two left-hand turns.
Oh, goat paths, as they were.
Oh, yes.
The ones you make fun of me for using.
Yes.
I've given my family much fun and merriment and laughter by the way I argue with the GPS. It's like, no, I'm not turning, you idiot.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
For some reason, when you're on the belt and you're heading west in the morning, everything is all jammed up until you get to exit 17, and then it tends to open up a bit.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know why. Mm. I don't know what the story is down there. But what I've done already, I've already bailed off and gone around by Aqueduct and up and around and then down onto Cross Bay and then, you know, saw some relief that way. But really not much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, there's really no good way.
Stop off at New Park Pizza, get a slice.
yep, pretty much. Good pizza.
Now, yeah, it is.
I even tried once coming up around on the Grand Central and then coming down through, the Interboro, they're calling it today.
Oh, boy, through East New York, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Well, we had a location down there besides, but it was 2 miles less, okay, than taking the Belt Parkway down to Canarsie. But... You're going through the secondary streets like Pitkin Boulevard and all that. You're familiar with that area.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what was that noise? Oh, it's a toilet flushing. Anyway, the point being is that the streets are so rough down there, you know, bouncing along, you can't go fast, even though it's 2 miles less.
Right.
You know, unless you want to shake your car to pieces, then, you know, it's the same thing. So it didn't pay at that point. You made the same time, you know?
Right, it's true. And your car got hundreds of dollars worth of more abuse.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Very
well,
true.
Listen, guys, I got it. What's that?
Very true, my brother.
Yeah, I got to get back to it. I'm doing a garage clean today. The boat's coming out of the water on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just, you know, sadness, but what are you going to do?
Yep, well, that time. It's going to get cold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, look, you guys have a great day, all right?
Okay, Rob.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the input.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. 516-572-7440. When we last left Ray, he was asking about 20% of the people do this when they drive.
Right. And Rob gave me a good segue into this segment that I want to talk about. There was another study done that I think Joe sent me a link to this, whereas car infotainment systems distract people
mm-hmm.
too much. And it boiled down to say that it takes drivers up to 27 seconds to return to full attention after they've made a hands-free call.
Okay.
Or turned on the radio or done other tasks like selected something on the iPod, GPS, whatever.
27 seconds?
An average of 27 seconds.
Average.
To return to full attention. So they would have to have started full attention. But
wow.
Now, they used a group of people. They didn't just make this up. They used a control groups of people to get this data.
That's frightening.
And just a factoid that they threw in was traveling at 25 miles an hour. You do cover 3 football fields
mm-hmm.
in that time, which is 36.7 feet per second. You can do the math. The AAA, who did the study, it was done in Utah, and they studied systems from 2015 model year cars. They wanted to see which ones were the most distracting and the least distracting.
Okay.
And I guess they used that. Maybe it went to consumers. I don't know. But the least distracting infotainment systems were found in the Chevy Equinox, the Buick LaCrosse, and the Toyota 4Runner. They were more intuitive and better at understanding voice commands, said the testers.
Okay.
The cars that performed less well were the Ford Taurus, the Chevy Malibu, the VW Passat, the Nissan Altima, the Chrysler 200, and the Hyundai Sonata.
Huh.
So that's a 2, 4, 6 list hit group there.
Hmm.
Get a load of this. The Mazda 6 system. I found BMW to be very, very tough to use. I've used a...
Well, they have that knob.
A joystick.
Yeah, that sits between the seats.
Not intuitive. Hmm. And even on the earlier ones, like the earlier 2000 ones, I was playing with for a while and very, very not intuitive to even the owner of the car told me it ain't going to be easy for you to figure out.
Well, I think that's one thing that you and I do agree on. Anything that's intuitive is not to us.
Right. It's probably Scandinavian boys who were named Sven. But anyway, the Mazda 6 system was the most distracting because it took longer to complete the tasks that were asked of it.
Hmm.
I found that kind of odd.
I'm going to say that's not yours. You have a 3.
I have a 3,
mm-hmm.
but mine isn't interactive either. You know, I mean, I can access stuff, but yeah, they didn't really specify. To sum it up, they said practice didn't help either. Like, basically, they felt like if people got comfortable with it, would they get better and learn it? And they said that 257 research subjects, which is as far as research goes, that's a small group, but it's still significant for what it is. They took the cars home for 5 days each. So they got to use that car every day for 5 days. And you think usually after the second or third day, you're starting to get your...
You kind of know where things are, yeah.
Yeah. But the tasks that were hard on the first day remained that way throughout the tests.
Hmm.
So the data they felt was significant because of that.
Wow.
I think the takeaway is whatever you're doing, and I tell this to my younger daughter who's a new driver now, whatever you're doing that's not looking at the road and driving is going to distract you and take your attention away. And I've pointed out to her on the road where I've seen other people do that, and then all of a sudden I'd hit the brakes or they swerved. And I said, watch when we go by. And you see a cell phone or you see something in their hands, a coffee cup, a mascara brush, a weed whacker, a hedge trimmer, lawnmower, you know, rebuilding a small engine on the dashboard, whatever it is. You know, we've all done crazy things, which kind of is. Now, those 20% of the people, actually the 20% of the people who were doing this could have also been distracted from driving, but they didn't. I didn't just mention them now. So there you go.
Very good.
Interesting stuff.
Yes, but all of that does not include the 20% that you are asking for.
No.
The answer to your question.
The 20% I'm asking for could fall under that category of doing something that will distract you while driving.
Mm-hmm, but it's not anything.
They didn't cite that in their group. So it may not have distracted them as much or as many times. I don't know. We don't have data to support that.
Okay.
It's just a matter of, you know, I'm just telling you what I know.
Got it. So I was back on Craigslist.
Oh, again? In that, what's that section called? The anonymous section? What's that one?
Casual encounters.
They don't, oh, that's the one. Yeah, yeah.
No,
how'd that work out for you?
Fine.
Good, good.
I got these great pants. No,
okay.
Anyway. I've come to realize that a lot of people that post ads on Craigslist for vehicles do not know the function of their transmission.
Oh, really?
They don't.
Oh.
They don't.
Okay.
Here's what I'm doing. Since I'm trying to be as search savvy as I can because I don't have the time, I type in a model of a vehicle and I just click on transmission manual. Just want to see what's out there.
There you go. Right.
You wouldn't believe how many people or how many cars that come up that say they're a manual transmission but aren't.
Really?
Yeah. Every single Ford Explorer from 2006, there must have been about, 2004, must have been about 20 of them. All came up manual transmission. You take a look at the inside picture of the car, it's stick on a car. You take a look at the speedometer, PR and the quadrant.
Prindle.
The quadrant is there. Right? And I'm thinking to myself, really? You don't know? You don't know.
Well,
what the hell transmission you have in your vehicle?
You know, I like to try and figure out why people do things.
Do I manually have to put it in reverse? That's a manual.
True. Could it be that when they fill out the form with all the specifics, by the time they get to that, they just kind of gloss over and manual is the default? Could it be that's the case?
I would highly doubt it.
So you think they're selecting manual?
Yes.
Well, then they're dopes. I mean, let's face it. There's, you know, if it's a flow chart, if this, then not. If this, then this. Right. If not, then this. Mm-hmm. If they're selecting manual, then they're idiots.
Mm-hmm. Well, that.
Or maybe they're thinking, yeah, the car has a manual. It's in the glove box. Right. Another idiot.
Right. And I've also realized that grammar.
Oh, please.
And punctuation.
Oh, please.
Is a direct relation to the price of the vehicle.
Okay.
I've come to realize.
I was going to say the education level of the seller.
If the car is $1,500 and less as the purchase price, the grammar and punctuation most of the time is not up to snuff.
Yeah, or they give you just a couple of words because they figure, hey, it's cheap anyway. You want it, take it. If not, you know, I get a lot of Craigslist listings. I get them from Kevin. I get them from Cliff. I get them from our friend Glenn, the car hunter. I get a lot of stuff from these guys and others as well, other people. And some of them I just can't read because it's this on a computer. It would be a block of text like this big, which would be about 10 lines, all in capitals, continuous.
And exclamation points, too.
It's almost like reading your punctuation. There's none. And when I scroll down and I see that, I forget it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spend the time to read through with this moron. I'll just look at the pretty pictures and then I'll comment like, yeah, that was nice. That was nice.
And even the better thing, I love when individuals take pictures of their cars to post on ads.
When they're on methadone, because
either it's a wavy, shaky mess or it's at night.
Night. No. Yeah, I just had one of those this week that came by.
Comes up with this. Hey, I got a great idea. Let's take a picture of the car at night. Hey, wait a minute. It's dark. They won't see it. Let's bring it to the gas station.
Well,
how many times have you seen pictures of a car at night at the gas station posted on Craigslist?
Well, there was one Kevin sent me on. It was a Fiat Spider, and it was kind of a special edition car, so he thought, yeah, maybe I'm interested. And the car couldn't be moved. It was, it was not on the road.
It was in the bottom of a lake somewhere.
No, it was in like a barn somewhere. But what the guy did is he must have used an iPhone that had a flash, because all you saw were like all the reflectors. Like, oh, they look nice. They're intact. Okay.
They're operating.
The rest of the car, not so much. Yeah, you're right. That's, wait till the daylight comes in or something.
Yeah, wait till the morning. Take a picture. That's why you use the sun. The sun with the great...
big ball in sky.
Yes, great help to photographs all over.
Yeah.
That's Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. This is Motor Mouth Radio. 516-572-7440 is the phone number. The Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour. Drivers that have encountered an open manhole on the road. Good thing you swerved around it. It's quite a pothole. When we come back, got a lot more coming your way, plus the answer to Ray's question. Keep it where you got it.
Got a car question? Give the Motor Mouse a call at 516-572-7440.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Motor Mouth Radio on 90.3 FM WHPC.
Wake up with NCC's Retro Mix. Start your weekday morning with HPC's Music Mix, the Retro Mix. Take us with you with your morning drive, weather, sports, the latest scoop in music and showbiz, just to keep you in the loop. NCC's Retro Mix. It's not oldies, it's retro. Listen to the Retro Mix on Retro 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College.
NCC's Retro Mix, weekdays starting at 5 a.m. on 90.3 WHPC.
Excuse me.
Motor Mouth Radio.
Oh, yeah. Radio advice you could wipe your nose on. It's Motor Mouth Radio. That's Ray Guarino. I'm Chris Switzer. Manning the board and keeping all the groupies away from Ray. That's my job. That's what I do. 516-572-7440. And no, no one will pay $5,000 here at the studio to say that we are racists. Moving right along.
Okay.
So,
well, that's nice.
Well, isn't that what they did to Donald Trump?
Yeah, they did. There was Saturday Night Live. There was a big brouhaha last night over him hosting again. And right. There was a bunch of, I think there were Mexicans that were.
And Latin Americans that were protesting.
Yeah. And there were other protesters that had signs that says, "No, Donald will appear." I'm like, oh, man. So the protesters were fighting each other.
But the funny thing was Larry David in the skit yelled out in the middle of the audience, he said, "Donald Trump is a racist." And Donald's like, "Larry, is that you?"
I didn't see it.
Well, here's the funny thing. Whoever offered that bounty for the $5,000 was going to pay Larry David for it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty hysterical.
So Larry David was in the audience.
Yes.
I've had some, I'm a Larry David fan. A big Larry David fan, in fact. And they've been playing, re-airing episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, his show that was on HBO during the week. And I was very upset when, like, the last season went off. I was waiting for the next. And they said, well, I don't know if we're going to have it. And he hasn't. Even watching the reruns is good.
I'm very surprised that you like cringe humor.
I don't consider that necessarily cringe humor.
It's that uncomfortable type of humor.
That, I'll give you.
That's, to me, is cringe humor.
But that's okay, because it's him who's uncomfortable.
That's my life.
It's who's uncomfortable.
It hits me way too close to home.
You know, people like different things for different reasons, whether it's food, comics, or bands, music. And Larry David visually reminds me of a guy I know. So as soon as I see him, I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I have that kind of connection. And he's a bit of a mensch. He's a schlub. The way he walks around is just kind of like, you know. And he's kind of like this nondescript, you know, hurt nobody kind of guy. But he comes out with some stuff that's like, wow. And that's kind of the wow factor in it.
Okay.
And, you know, the supporting cast on that show was just stellar. They were fantastic. Everybody in their own right, love or hate them. And some of them you want to hate.
Yeah, I believe it.
Were just fantastic. And so I'm a big fan of that show. And, of course, he was the creator behind Seinfeld.
Yes.
And in his show, in Curb, he incorporated the Seinfeld characters a lot. In fact, my daughter, my older daughter, is a big Curb fan as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she kind of gets that kind of, you know, we share a lot of our humor genes, which I apologize for.
But, so do I.
But, you know, whatever.
516-572-7440 is the phone number. So I had to go and get a scanner code reader.
Uh-huh.
Because mine is a little bit on the fritz, one that I have purchased. And I actually stopped over at the Parts Authority because I wanted to pick one up to go look at a vehicle.
What did you buy?
I can't remember the name of it.
Okay.
It's a smaller red one. I can't think of the name. Parts Dynamics or something. I went over to Parts Authority.
Is it the type where you plug it into the ALDL and it just displays the code?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not really a scanner. It's just a reader.
Oh, no, but you can erase and
can you see any diagnostic, any other data?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
A little bit, not a lot.
Okay, yeah, some of them are limited.
Limited.
And just like you said with the other thing, it all depends. It goes commensurate with the price you paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah, this was about $100.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm bringing up is the fact that I went over to look at a vehicle a couple of weeks ago, and that was advertised in Craigslist as a manual transmission. And the second I walked up to it, I looked at it, went, "This is an automatic."
Yeah.
And I got back in my car, pulled away. Not that I didn't need the piece of equipment. I certainly did. On the way to work, I needed the equipment. Because all of a sudden, my engine light goes on in the Dodge.
Okay.
Like, holy smokes, I need a code reader. I got one right here.
Right. Good. So, fortuitous as it was.
Yeah. So I pulled into the parking lot, and it's anticlimactic. It's not one of my standard stories, but it was a little anticlimactic. I checked. I pulled the codes on it. I got a
PO.
PO.
Mm-hmm. 171?
128.
A 128.
Yes. You know what it was? My coolant temperature was a little cooler
Okay.
than it should have been.
Okay.
which is kind of interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Why would my coolant level, coolant temperature, not level, why would my coolant temperature be cooler than it ought to be?
Well, there's a couple of schools of thought with this. And the first one that pops into my mind is something that I always believed, and then Joe really hammered it into my head, where don't believe the first thing you see.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's telling you it's cool doesn't mean it's cool.
Okay.
Just means the sensor is telling you it's cool.
Okay.
Which doesn't mean just go buy a sensor.
Right.
It means do a follow-up test.
Okay. What would you suggest my follow-up test should be in this situation?
Typically, it could be as easy as a combination of a thermal thermometer and or a thermometer actually inserted in the coolant flow to read, to verify that. It's like when you want to diagnose an electric gauge.
Mm.
Fuel gauge, oil pressure, whatever, you do it with a mechanical gauge, something that has a direct read. That's what I would like to do.
Okay. Okay. In the meantime, I just turned it off.
Okay. Which is what Joe always...
waiting for it to get turned back on again.
Yeah.
It's been a couple of weeks. It hasn't happened. Well, it's been about 2 weeks.
Okay.
It hasn't happened yet. It's a couple
All
of
right.
weeks. Uh-huh. So that was my high point.
And you just went through some cooling system stuff with that car.
I did.
Right.
Sure did.
Okay.
All I did was just did a coolant flush on it.
Right.
I wanted to get rid of the old stuff, and I had to change the lower hose
on it. And you found a bad radiator cap.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure did. It was bubbling away, and I had a laugh because you and I both had bad radiator caps at the same time.
Yeah, my daughter's car had a bad one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's what it was doing. It was, like you said, it was allowing air to get into the system.
Right.
And it was bubbling the coolant away.
Yep.
So I was able to just swap out the cap, and that was it.
That's beautiful. Wait, when it's easy like that, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so cool. I went out. I was at work. The car was in the lot. I just went out, swapped the caps, came back in, and one of my guys was like, "Where'd you go?" I said, "I went to go fix my car."
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I went to go do a minor repair.
Keeping up with the auto god persona, where you can just walk out, fix it, and come back in and not even look dirty. They think, wow, he's good. My mechanic looks like hell after he fixes my car.
So we got about 4 minutes left in this fine upstanding program. Do you want to answer the question or ask it again?
Yeah. You want to take another guess or 300 or 400? I don't know. It's 20%. Look around when you're driving. 20% of the drivers on the road are doing also. They said also doing this, which assumes you're doing it. It just means that I think 20% of the drivers are doing this as they drive down the highways and byways of this country. And what would that be?
I'm tempted. I can't say talking on the phone because I know there's more than 20% that are doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't say, you know, like you say, eating a hero sandwich, maybe. But no, I don't know. I give up.
Okay. Eating and driving.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you. That's what it is. It's eating and driving. And I have been guilty of that. I mean, in my earlier days when I was a teen at the time, I had I told the story. The girlfriend at the time had moved to a different town, and I had to drive out there, and it was the only subway that I knew of at the time was on that route, and I would pick myself up a BMT Hero and a Big Coke, and I would drive my 65 Chevy with manual steering and a 3-speed manual shift on the floor, and not only juggle the Hero, but keep the soda between my legs somehow, steer, drive, and work the radio and the 8-track tape player, all with great alacrity and ease.
Yeah. Wow.
So once you've kind of grown up doing it, you get pretty good at it.
I'm sure you do.
And I can still do it. I choose not to eat Heroes and big messy things today.
Right.
But I could still have, I've still eaten like a buttered roll and a, you know, now with cup holders, it's kind of like cheating.
I always say there's food, and if you're in a car, there's food that constitutes two results. There's either crumb type of food.
Oh, yeah.
Or crumb free type of food.
Correct.
And I found the best crumb free food, even though it's not, thank you, Kimmy, even though it's not nutritious, but the best, if we're just talking about crumb-free driving food, the best stuff are McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Okay.
They're the best.
That's good. I go for the fish filet, but...
Yep, they're the best, because they do not... You won't get a single crumb.
No, you won't.
You may get a ketchup drip.
Right,
but
right.
There's a way of...
Have to mention, Chris, our upcoming next Thursday, we have scheduled to have County Executive Ed Mangano in studio with us.
Very excited for this.
I don't know if his PR guy, Brian Nevin, will be with him. I'm hoping he is, because I'd like to meet him. I've had dealings with him, and they haven't met in person. But Ed is going to come in and not talk about county politics or budget. We're going to talk about cars.
That sounds great.
So that's scheduled for next Thursday.
I would love to talk to Ed about that Corvette that he has, because he's got a lot of stories about it.
Well, if you come in to do the show, you will.
Oh, you mean I got to be here too?
That would help, yeah.
So anything further along on the, or is that it so far?
I'm booking ahead now. We have Glenn, the car hunter, but that's not till early December. So, yeah, nothing else now. You know, we got into that kind of a lean mode right now with guests. And this time of year, that happens.
Yeah, it sure does.
Because a lot of the guys that we get on the phone that are out in other places, they were at SEMA, and then they do follow-up stuff with that. And this is always a tough time of year, you know, coming up on the holidays, trying to get guys. But I'm working on it.
Sounds good.
You never know who's going to drop in.
You never know. For Ray Guarino, I'm Chris Switzer. This is Motor Mouth Radio. And the best advice we can always give, you know what it is. Don't
eat and drive.
Don't follow us home. See ya.
Bye.